Most of you know that every year we read through a different gospel in the Sunday morning readings. This year, we're on Mark. And the gospel of Mark can be counted on for one thing: brevity. He's never the most detailed or complete telling of any story, just the quickest. It's the shortest gospel overall, and his version of events is always the most succinct. Take today's reading, for example. In six short verses, we've met John the Baptist, had Jesus baptized, heard the Father declare him the beloved Son, sent Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, contend with beasts and attended by angels, and witnessed his returning to preach repentance and hope in the good news. From baptism through the stint in the wilderness, that's at least two full church seasons in 10 lines of text. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think some of us would prefer that Markan version of Lent. Two verses and then on to better things. He doesn't say much about the 40 days or the fasting or being tempted. Just those two sentences and then moving on. But Mark, in his concise way, cuts straight to the heart of what the Lenten season is about: repentance and believing in the good news. That's the very best of his style. He gives us the whole meaning of the season in a form that even Twitter would accept. Our own liturgy highlights these exact same two themes at the heart of Lent. We start the season with a service on Ash Wednesday, specifically calling us to remember our sinfulness, and we begin this first Sunday of Lent with the litany of repentance. And at the same time, the Eucharistic prayer for this season reminds us that God wants us to prepare with joy for the coming of the Easter feast. In other words, to know the good news and get our hearts ready to hear it anew. Repentance and good news, that's Lent in a nutshell. As we begin this holy season together, let's take a couple of minutes to look at each of these themes and how they can lead us toward a fuller Easter. Repentance is really no one's favorite topic, but it's squarely at the heart of Christianity, and we're desperately in need of recapturing its language in our world. I told the Adult Forum group last week that the larger Episcopal Church is beginning to ask if it's time to think about revising the 1979 prayer book. Take a deep breath. I'm pretty sure they're going to say no. But one of the central issues that is discussed about revisions is what we mean by words like sin and repentance, and how it's captured in our service and how we make sense of them in our world today. Those of you who remember the language of the previous prayer book, the Rite One liturgy that kept it alive, will recall that there was a heavy focus on our sinfulness in the old prayer book language. There was a part of the Eucharistic prayer in which we said that we were not worthy to gather up the crumbs at God's table because of our wretchedness as sinners. By the 1979 prayer book, we had a broad confession that we still commonly use, in which we ask forgiveness for our sins in thought, word, and deed, as well as for those things we have left undone that are sinful in their negligence, oversight, or apathy. It's not just doing, in other words, saying or even thinking bad things that pollute our souls, but failing to do good where we can. And in the years since that passed, new liturgies have been approved. They have emerged to remind us of other types of sin that we participate in, even passively. There's this confession we sometimes use that has us repent of the evil we have done, as well as the evil done on our behalf. What does that even mean? It's things like sinful systems that hurt our world that we benefit from, abusive labor practices that produce cheap goods that we like to buy, or strip mining some other part of the world and destroying creation to get the fancy metals that I need for my new cell phone. We've had an expanding understanding of sin. It is more than just breaking holy laws or failing to live up to some abstract standard. It is the force that pollutes our souls and destroys our world. And we must acknowledge the ways we participate in that, give it power in our lives, and passively allow it to continue to exist and even thrive. Repentance is a lot more than being sorry. It's the courage to change direction and amend our lives. How do we repent, though? The first step is simply reflecting on what we're doing. What values underlie our actions, and are they the ones we want to be governing our lives? A big part of the reason people give up things in their lives for Lent is simply to create the space for that reflection. We're not very good at it in our busy, overscheduled world, but we need to be able to take the time to ask ourselves if the path we are headed down is one that leads us closer to or further from God. Will my personal prayer life lead me closer to God? Or is that something that falls into the category of things I've left undone? Do I try to seek Christ in every person in my life, as my baptismal vows tell me I should? Or is that a place I sin in thought, by thinking poorly of people and always expecting them to disappoint? Am I conscious about what groups and causes I support with my purchases? Or is there evil done on my behalf that I make a habit of overlooking? Those are not always easy questions to ask. But in Lent, we are encouraged to make the time to do it. And when we find we are wrong, we are not encouraged to wallow in it, but to repent, to literally turn around and stop going down the wrong path. We need to recapture that. So many people in polls think that our world is headed down the wrong path, and yet they just passively continue down the road with everyone else. That's not what our faith is about. You and I are representatives of Christ, and we are agents of change, bringers of the kingdom of God among us. If we think things are headed in the wrong direction, repentance means that we no longer go down that path, that we actually start to turn the trajectory of things, even if it's one person at a time. Repentance is so key because for Easter to be an ever-present reality in our world, we need to turn our backs on the destructive forces of sin in our lives and our world and start moving toward the life of Christ. To do that, though, it's equally important to believe in the good news, to point ourselves actively toward it, and to do so with hope and joy. There was a recent New York Times article that asked, "Can we make ourselves believe?" The premise of Lent is to say most assuredly, yes. By taking on spiritual disciplines, we make ourselves believe again. We train our hearts to hope in the coming of Christ. Primarily, it's by reading Holy Scripture that we believe in the good news. It's like the way banks train tellers to recognize counterfeit money. They have them feel hundreds and thousands of real bills so that the others feel wrong in their hands. If they spent time handling fake money, then that would feel normal to them. Do you want to believe in the good news? then you should spend time reading the stories of grace, redemption, and resurrection in our tradition. Then you'll start to see those themes manifest in the world all around you and recognize God at work in the here and now. Study the life of Christ. Then you'll start to see resemblances of him in the people you encounter. Yes, of course, you can teach yourself to believe in good news. And then you begin to see its first lights breaking through before those around us. The Gospel of Mark is succinct because he thinks it's simple and more words would unnecessarily overcomplicate it. Repent and believe in the good news. That's the heart and soul of Lent. Create the space you need to turn from what's wrong in your life and in your world and actively hope and proclaim the coming of goodness. This is the simple formula for preparing for Easter joy. And the good news is that the roadmap is laid out right in our liturgy. It tells us how to get there. We just have to be willing to actually do it. Can we muster the courage to journey this path together this Lent so that we might experience the joy of Easter together as well? I hope so. Amen.